Okay, let's pray. Lord, we just bless you and thank you for your goodness. Lord, I just ask that you would unfold your word to us tonight, and it would come alive in us, and it would do something dramatic in us that causes us to go from strength to strength, that we would leave this room different from we came in. God, I thank you that your word brings life, and I thank you, Lord, that that life would be released upon these people in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was talking to Pastor Jason. He asked me a few weeks ago if I would preach on this Sunday, and I said, well, what do you want me to preach on? And he said, well, can you preach on the Word? So I thought, yeah, I can preach on the Word. That'd be great. So I've put together a message that I've never preached before. Well, I didn't pull it off my computer as something that I've preached 10 years ago. I've actually, this has been created for you. I have had the opportunity to run it at a couple of churches in the last 2 weeks just to check and see if it works. Except, yeah, they got the full version. You might get the half version. Is that all right? I better get into it or we get stuck. Righto. I want to start this evening with a foundational truth. Now, this can really help you. Now, I know that some of you would be very, very familiar with this foundational truth, and other people will be going, far out. I never saw that before. But this is when we're talking about the Word, it's really important that we start in this place. You ready? Yeah. Let's go. Okay. Now, we're going to start in the Gospel of John. Now, I love John. John was actually my favorite disciple because he called himself in his Gospel the disciple that Jesus loved. Now, he had a revelation of how much love Jesus had for him, which was really amazing, and I love that. And I feel like that. I have John complex. So we're going to start in John 1:1, right at the beginning. This is the first thing that John wrote. You ready?
Yeah.
In the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. How bizarre. Like, who is this person who is referred to as the Word? Now, if you slide down a couple of verses, same chapter, it says this, John also speaking, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, who is the only begotten of the Father? Jesus. Now, even in John 3:16, Jesus said it himself, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? So it's talking about Jesus. So Jesus is the Word. So full of grace and truth. Now, interestingly, right in the beginning of the Bible, like that was the beginning of John. Now, if you go to the beginning of Genesis, it all starts with the Word again. So let's have a look at this. This is Genesis 1, verse 3. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Genesis 1:6. Then God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So the creation of the worlds was formed by the spoken Word. Okay? As it was spoken, it went forth creating, and it's still creating. Scientists even today are saying that the universe is still expanding. As far as they can see, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's because the Word is still creating. Got that? The creating power of the Word is continuing. And John said, all things were made through Him. So all that we see or we know was created by Jesus, the Word. And Jesus is still the creative force of the Word. It says that life and light came through the Word of God. And if we start to see the Word of God as Jesus, things changed. Particularly in the Old Testament. Like, I just want to show you something quickly, okay? Now, this is Genesis 15:1, and it says this. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." So the word came to Abraham and said, "I am your reward." Genesis 15:4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who comes from your own body shall be your heir." Then he, the word, brought him outside and said, "Look now towards heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Can you picture this? So Jesus and Abraham are standing in Abraham's backyard. And they're looking up at the sky together, and Jesus is going, "Abraham, I'm going to give you descendants. And out of those descendants, I will be born as the Savior of mankind. And out of that, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." You're seeing this picture. It's the Word. Now, it goes on to describe it like this. So the Bible confirms that meeting took place in other places in Scripture. And this is something you need to watch with the Bible, because this is important, is that what is unclear in one spot, so if you read one spot and you sort of go, "What?" It's explained in another spot. You've just got to find it. So you've just got to find the explanation of what's unclear. And this is a good example. So Abraham, Jesus explains the future to Abraham, and then Jesus and Abraham are standing looking at the stars, and in Galatians 3:8 it says this, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand." So Jesus went to Abraham and preached the gospel. "I am coming as the Savior." The word of God was sent to Abraham to let him know beforehand. And Jesus even mentions this meeting in a debate that he was having with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This is John 8:56. He says, For your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it." So Abraham got a glimpse of what Jesus was about to do with the gospel preached to him by Jesus himself, and he was glad. Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Notice how suddenly he steps out of time and goes, "Well, Abraham was, but I'm not was or will be. I just am." Totally, totally confuddled them. He said, "I am the Word. I've always been the Word, and I always will be the Word." How cool is that? Absolutely fantastic. Genesis 15:6 says, "And he believed in the Lord." Now, this is just an aside point. I haven't got time to go there, but check this out. It says that Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So Abraham believed what he saw Jesus was going to do. So he believed in faith in what Jesus was going to do. It was accounted to him as righteousness. See, remember, in the Old Testament, righteousness was gained by sacrifice, not by belief. So he believed in Jesus, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So Abraham was saved in exactly the same way we are. Rather than us believing what Jesus did do, he believed what Jesus was about to do. You see that? I always couldn't figure out, what about all these people in the Old Testament who didn't have Jesus to die for? They were believing for the Savior what Jesus was about to do. Anyway, I haven't got time to go there. But he's not only the author of the word, he is the word. And when we start to see Jesus in the Old Testament, a whole new world opens to us. Jesus, the word, created the heavens and the earth. So whenever you see the word of the Lord, it's talking about Jesus. And you notice whenever it says the word of the Lord, there was power, there was transformation to overcome, there was creative force. See, Jesus, the word, had the ability to transform matter, okay? And that is why he could turn water into wine and turn the sea into something that Peter could walk on. He was able to transform matter. So whenever you see the word, just remember that there's creative force involved that can change matter and change circumstances and change your situations or the people around you's situations. Amen? Okay, I'm building something, we'll get there. And that's why Hebrews 4:12 can say, and this is the Amplified Version, for the word, capital W in the Amplified Version, not in this version, which is New King James, of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give account. Now, who do we give account? Romans 14 tells us that. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So, Jesus, you cannot separate Jesus and the Word. He just is. See, Jesus' disciples got this. They understood this. Have a look at this. This is John 6:66. What the context is that Jesus brought this statement about eating his flesh and drinking his wine. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Now, they didn't understand that, so it sounds like a really bizarre concept. But if we look at it now, we understand that. It's talking about what we will celebrate as communion. But it says in the scripture here, from that time, many of disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For you alone, or for you have the words of eternal life." You see, they weren't going, "Jesus, you can't leave us because we love your presence." Or, "Jesus, you can't leave us because we love your power and your miracles." No, they said, "Jesus, you can't leave us because your words have power. Your word is power." You cannot separate Jesus from the word. So when we align ourselves with the word, Jesus' creative power is available to us. You see where I'm going? When we speak his word, he is there. You know, this is why Hebrews says that the word is living and powerful. Matter shifts. Things are created. You see, all matter was created by the word. Let there be. And all matter is sustained by the vibration of the word. You know, if you break all matter down, it's actually to an atomic level, it's just a vibration. It's just matter being vibrated. It's all being created by words. Order came from chaos, and what was without form and void became life and beauty and wholeness. And the amazing thing is that the Word is not subject to death or decay. He lives eternally. And he said this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So when this is all folded up, this will still exist. You understand? That Jesus' words are eternal. They last forever. Where were we? This is Matthew 8:16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. And that's confirmed by a prophetic scripture in Psalm 107 that says, he sent his word and healed them. The word has creative power. So when we connect our words to his word, the creative power of the universe is released. And you know, this word is full of revelations that he wants you to find. So during the course of your life, he wants you to spend your life discovering the incredible things that he has placed in here for you to find. What an incredible journey. So he wants to steer you and your lives through his word. He wants to heal all that are around you by the word who dwells in you. You see, Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Him we preach. Who? The word we preach. In Matthew 13:52, it says, he said to them, therefore every teacher and interpreter of the sacred writings, or the word, who has been instructed about and trained for the kingdom of heaven and has become a disciple, so that's all of us, is like a householder who brings out from his storehouse treasures that is new and that is old. So we're meant to be people who, out of what's been placed in our storehouse, what Jesus has revealed to us through his word, we bring those things out, old and new, to be able to heal those people around us. We're like storeholders that have treasures that we need to release from the word, both old and new. You will never stop finding new truths. This is the amazing part. You will never stop. As long as you live, the word will be revealing truths to you and about you. And as we spend time in the word, it challenges and it changes us. That is why Hebrews says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, separating between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Ever been concerned about your intentions? The word will show you. It will separate between those things, but you need to be in it. That doesn't happen if you don't read it. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that's what we're doing now. We're dividing the word of truth. But he's saying, be diligent, because you need to be approved to God as a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So hopefully rightfully dividing the word of truth. When Jesus did battle for mankind, shall I just skip this section, Jason, or how are we going time-wise? Are we going? Okay. Real quick. You doing all right? Jesus showed us this very, very clearly when he was tempted by the devil, right? And this is Matthew 4:3. It says, "Now the tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread.'" Now, he'd just been fasting for 40 days, so he's seriously hungry. "But he said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" Now, that's a scripture. That's Deuteronomy 8:3. So Jesus defeated the enemy by using something that is already written in the Word of God. He showed us that that's the way that we overcome. See, the Word is our weapon. And unless you're able to use it well and know how to use it, you're likely to get overcome by the enemy. We need to be like one of those samurai dudes who just rightfully dividing the word of truth. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Because that's how Jesus pulled down strongholds, by the word. We all need to be skilled warriors. Now, the word is our only source of truth. It's our only source of truth. Let's look at it from this angle. And you know, I'm so distressed about this. I have one prop for this message, and it's a really old Bible. Okay, it's a really old Bible, so I'm going to use this as an example. Now, you imagine this is all tattered and beaten up, okay? Now, it's a really old Bible, and I noticed that Charles Spurgeon said, "An old Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to somebody who isn't." So this old Bible was all falling apart, and I was going to bring this in as an example tonight. I'm 62 years old. I'm 63 this year, and that Bible was given to me when I was 6 years old. And it says in the front cover, just in the white section, it's upside down. In the white spot where Nathan's written all over his, because I forgot all three Bibles I was meant to bring. In that spot in the cover, it says, "To Ian." No, it's Nathan's. "To Ian, 1967. Okay? And on this side, it says, "From love from mother," which was given to my mother in 1940. So in 1940 was the middle of the world, during the World War II. And during that time when my mother was given that Bible, she lived in England, they would come out every morning from their house to see what houses had disappeared. You know, these are desperate times. And in the back of that little Bible, it says on so-and-so date, 1945, "I decided to give my life to Jesus Christ." That my mum had written in the back of the book. My point is this, is that after 62, nearly 63 years of life, this is the only thing that hasn't changed. Everything else has changed. You know, like, I've changed. I'm an older guy. I got no hair and lots of grey. Society has changed. Family life has changed. Discipline, when I was a very, very different thing. Hey, you guys are my age. Discipline was a very, very different thing. Family life has changed. Education's changed. How we receive information has changed. We used to buy newspapers every day. Can you believe that? Politics has changed. Entertainment has changed. Music has changed. Science has changed. Some of the things that we believed when I was a kid, we don't believe now. Science has changed. Even gender has changed. We used to have male and female when I was a kid. Even the weather has changed. This is the only thing that from 1940, when that little book was given to my mum, to 1967, when that little book was given to me, to 2024 being today, this is the only thing that hasn't changed. That's significant. This is our only source of truth. You see, people are living by whatever they choose to believe. They make up their own truth as they go along. Well, that shifts. That moves with culture. That moves with science. That moves with everything. It doesn't stay the same. They make it up as they go along. Matthew 5:18 said, and this is Jesus speaking, so listen up. He said, "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or title will by no means pass away from this law until it is fulfilled." Start to love it. Hey? We're Christians. This is the word. Start to love it. D.L. Moody said, "I never saw a useful Christian who was not a student of the Bible." See, it's not a book of rules. It's an interactive instruction manual that comes alive with power and potential when we're in relationship with the author. His words have creative power in your mouth. I'll leave that bit. But you cannot separate this from your relationship with Jesus. Okay? Well, you know, I've met Christians who say, "I'm a Christian, yeah, but I don't read the Bible." Golly. Well, you don't know how to be a Christian if you don't read the Bible. Let it do surgery on you. You know, body, soul, spirit, discerner of the thoughts of the heart. Live in it daily. See, the Bible is the bread of life for daily consumption, not a cake for special occasions. It's not something that we should be pulling out on Sunday and going, "Oh, the word, I love the word," and then leave it in the refrigerator till next Sunday. If you were kidnapped or deserted on a desert island, what's the one thing you'd like to be stuck with? This would be the thing. The one thing. Learn to love it more than any other thing. Make it your prized possession. You know, we have easy access, and I'll finish with, I'm getting there. Okay, we have easy access to this thing. Celebrate that, because not everyone in the world does. We spent time in the Philippines where how many pastors? Seven pastors shared one Bible. And I know of people who have actually got the Bible and they've torn out the pages and given them to each individual so everyone had one page. Give me John 3, please. "For God so loved the world." What could you do with numbers? You know, we have easy access to the Word of God. Let's enjoy it. Let's let it fill our heart, fill our mind. Let it become part of who we are. Find scriptures that apply to you and your needs and hang on to them. I've been through seasons in my life where I've desperately hung on to one verse until it's come to pass. I remember on one occasion, I laid with my Bible on my chest because I didn't know what to say to God, and I was just so desperate for Him to speak and heal me. The Word has power. It's not just a book. It contains words of life. Amen? Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Let the word of Christ dwell richly in all wisdom. Let's go deeper. Okay, the challenge, this, I'm finishing with this. The challenge is this. Every day, read something. one verse. If you're not a big reader, just read one verse. That's okay. Let it minister to you. It will do incredible things in you just to read one. Maybe read one chapter. Push yourself. Maybe read two chapters. But just read it every day, just one little bit. Meditate on it. Think about those things. What I used to do is I got a whole heap of blank cards, like business cards, and I used to write one scripture on it a day. And I'd put it in my pocket, and then every time I thought about it, I'd pull out that one scripture and I'd read it. And then tomorrow I'd find another one. You know, get the word into you so you know it. How can you fight the enemy if you don't know what the response is? We need to be skilled with this stuff. Denise actually sends, we have a family chat, and she puts a scripture on there every day. Share it with your friends. Always have a Bible around your house. Train your family in the word. Train your kids to read the word daily. Just ask the team to come up, if you wouldn't mind. The word needs to become part of us. We can't separate us from the word. See, we're saved by Jesus, who is the word. This needs to be so much of who we are. I'd just like you to close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment. I just want to read you a scripture. Just let this sink in. We've looked at Genesis, and now we're going to look at Revelation. So this is the end. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. It starts and ends with Jesus.